We continue our learning of the Nishmas David ben Menachem Shem Chaim Yaakov the Bechav Shel Leo and Kalin Perikid Aleph Mishnah Zayin Keren Agula. Hey, you have a horn from an animal. So a horn is like bone. So it's not going to be Kabbal Tuma unless it has a base kibble. So says the Mishnah Tameya. It's Tameya because it's Agula. Agula means circular, but here it means that it's curved. And since it's curved, you could use it to drink water even out of the Keren. Therefore, it's Mekabel Tuma. Upshuta though Tahora. So let's say difference. If it's straight, it's not Mekabel Tuma. So the difference between Keren Agula, let's say from a ram, or Pshuta from a Yael from an ibex. So that's one is curved and one is straight. So one that's straight is not Mekabel Tuma, is Tahora. Im Haisa Mitzupas Shela Shel Mateches Tameya. Let's say the mouthpiece of this Keren, of this horn, is made of metal, so that mouthpiece is susceptible to tuma, and that's even when it's detached from the horn. It's a metal kli; doesn't need to be have a base kibble, so it's susceptible to tuma. Hakav shela, the kav is the kav, maybe with a vase and maybe with a vav, is the bell. That's the wide end of an instrument. This may be referring to the keren, but it may be referring to a trumpet. In general. So the wide end of the instrument, Rabbi Tarfa Mitame, he says it's Mitame. Why? Because it's made out of metal and it has its own identity, so separate from the rest of the trumpet. It's therefore Mekabel Tuma. They say, no, the wide end, the kav, the bell section of a trumpet, let's say over a horn, so that is considered secondary to the rest of the keren, secondary to the rest of the trumpet, and it's not Mekabel Tuma on its own. Uvishas chiburanda, but let's say all of these pieces together, you have the mouthpiece of the trumpet of the horn, the middle part of the horn, you have the bell, the kav of the bell, then if they're joined together, so then they are hakol tameh, everything's tameh, and that would be true even if just the mouthpiece is made out of metal. That is considered, we now say that the whole thing is one package. If that's metal, so then the whole thing is susceptible to tuma. Kayote, though, a similar idea, kinei menorah tahor. And we mentioned this as an example in the past. They have the branches of the menorah. So they themselves are tahor. They're not attached to the rest of the menorah. They don't have their own identity. They have a shem levi, which means they have a descriptive name, an accompanying name secondary to the menorah. So therefore, alone, they're not makabel tuma. Ha-perach v'ha-basis, tmeim. But the perach of a menorah, the flower on a menorah, assuming there's a base kibble, and the basis, the base also, assuming they have the base kibble, they are tamei, the kabel tamei, on their own, because as we said, they have a receptacle, v'shas chiburon v'akol tamei, but when everything's attached, so everything's susceptible to tamei, even the branches of the menorah will potentially become tamei. Perikid Aleph, Mishnah has kasta. Kasta is a helmet, besides the top has straps on the side, so the kasta itself, the metal helmet, assuming it's made out of metal, tameya, it's mekabel tuma, ulechayayim tahor, but the straps that it has, and these are also made out of metal, they're tahor because they don't have their own identity. They are considered the lechayam, the cheek pieces, the cheek straps of the helmet. So therefore, alone, they're tahor. Im yesh b'hem beis kibul, mayim tameim. But if, let's say, the cheek straps have a container for water, a beis kibul, so then they are susceptible to tuma, because even a kli, if it doesn't have its own name, it doesn't matter. If there's a beis kibul, so then metal doesn't need a base kibble generally, but that's if it has its own identity as a kli. But if it's only descriptive, only part of something else, only second to something else, then it would need a base kibble to be mekabel tuma on its own. Kol klei hamalchama tameim, says the Mishnah, once we speak about a kasta, which we're assuming is, let's say, a military helmet. So we're saying that all kalim that are used, tools that are used for war, are mekabel tuma. And we have a list here. Hakidon. Kidon is a spear. Romach Chatan, says the Bar Tanura, Shabiyat Hasarim Amlachim, officers and kings hold on to this small spear. Hanikon, which is a spearhead. Hu Habarzel Shabisocha Romach, that's the head, the iron part of the spear. The Vahamagafayin, which are leg, Bate Shokayim Shel Barzel, these are metal leg guards, Shenosim Anshe Mohammed. that they wear, v'hashirion, which is the male, obviously, which is the coat of armor that they have. Tameim, these are all susceptible to tumah. They don't have a base kibul. It doesn't matter. They're made out of metal, and they have their own identity and not necessarily part of something else. Then the Mishnah says, kol tachshitei nashim tameim. All women's jewelry are susceptible to tumah. And the Mishnah now has a list of these things. Examples: the ear shel zahav. This was like a crown which had the city of Yerushalayim, and mentioned in Masechet Shabbos. Kataloyos, which are choker necklaces, nizam, earrings, vitabos, and rings worn on the finger. Bar Tanura points out, Tachishi Natum, our Nashim are not used for Malacha, so why are they Mekabel Tumah? They don't have a base kibul. You'll say they're metal. The metal Kalim usually only Mekabel Tumah. When they serve a person, the person uses them as a Malacha. Afa Pishein Asurin Malacha, he says, Elonoi, they're only for decoration, for adornment. Marbinan Lahumikra, they're actually included from a Pasuk. Tachsiv in Bamibra Lamad Aleph, this is in Parshas Matos. V'chalasher lo yavavayesh ta'avir b'moim. That's with respect to the kashering of clay midyan. We use that pasuk to say, to come include and tell us that this applies to even items like jewelry that are not used for malach. The extra word kol is there to include v'chol asher lo yavavayesh, etc., comes to include these. Then the Mishnah says, what else is on this list? Oh, so we had the whole list of the various tachshitei nashim, which are mekabel tumah. And then the Mishnah says, not only tabos, but when we speak about a tabas, a ring, the tabas bein sheish lachosam bein shein lachosam, makes no difference if it's a signet ring that's used to stamp things, or it does not have. That usually there's a stone that's on it in order to accomplish that goal. So the Mishnah says it makes no difference what type of tabas we're talking about, and therefore it could be jewelry that men wear as well. The chiddush, of course, is that the signet ring has a stone that's used for the stamping, and maybe you would say, well, stone is not mekabel tumah. Nonetheless, since the rest of the ring is metal, so the whole thing is mekabel tumah. Nizmei ha'af, what else is on the list? A nose ring. And now we're going to discuss the katla, these choker necklaces that break. Katla shechulio shelo shel matachos, bechut shel pishton o shel tzemer. We speak about this choker necklace is where the chulios, the beads that are made out of metal, are placed on, or slid on to a string, a rope, whatever, that's made out of linen or wool. That's what it means. Chut shel pishton o shel tzemer. And nifzach hachut, let's say that linen or wool string rips, hachulios tameos, even though this is no longer a necklace, you can't wear it as a necklace, we say that the chulios themselves, those beads, those metal beads, are mekabel tumah alone, shekol achas v'achas kli b'fnei atzma. Each one is a kli on its own, in the sense that you could put it on another necklace, so they still have a status. Dechol chada ba'anpein nafsha chashiv kli maisa, says the bartender. Each one alone is independent, is considered a kli maisa, a kli that can be used, and obviously used on another necklace. What about chut shel matachos? So the Mishnah again, nifsak achut, if that string rips, hachul yus tamev shekol achas achas kli bifnei atzma. Chut shel matachos, let's say you have, this is also a choker necklace, and you have on them beads made out of avonim, chulios avonim made out of stone, tovos umargolios, the types of precious stones. Now here, the stones themselves, in the previous case, the string wasn't mekabel tumah, but the stones were metal. Here, the stones are the precious stones are stone, are not metal, but the string is metal. It's a chutcha matachos, over shel zechuchis, or let's say the beads are made out of glass, and glass is not mekabel tumah, unless it has a base kibul. So nishtabu hal chulios, let's say now, the beads broke, so these beads, which are not mekabel tumah on their own, because they're made out of stone or glass, whatever it is, so then they break, b'vachut b'fnei atzmo kayom, but now the metal cord, the metal string, which was used to put on the beads, that necklace is still around tumah, that is mekabel tumah. Why? It's made out of metal, so the beads broke off, that's fine, but the kli is, but the metal is a kli on its own, and therefore it's mekabel tumah. Shiarei katla, the Mishnah then says, kimolot savar ktana. Now we want to know, what about if you have the remaining, you have this choker necklace once again, and it broke. So we're saying that it can be mekabel tumah, And this is also the case where it's made, the cord, the string is made out of metal, and you have these precious stones or glass which are threaded onto it, and those are not mekabel tumah independent. But now we're talking about where the cord broke, and the beads are remaining. So the thing is that you have some of the, so you can still use the, you can still use the necklace, which is made out of metal. It may not fit out around your neck, may fit out of someone else's neck, because it's a little bit shorter now because it ripped. So what's the halacha here? Sherei katla, left over, this metal choker necklace, and part of it ripped. So kimelot tzavar katana, says the Tanakama. If it's long enough to go around the neck of a young girl, so then it's still mekabel tumah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer afiu tabas achas tameya. He says even if there's one bead that remains, and remember these beads are themselves are stone, are not mekabel tumah, but because you can wear that bead on this very small necklace, that's then the whole thing is tumah. Shekein tolan mitzavar. Why? Because people will hang that bead around their neck. A person will wear a necklace even one bead, and therefore he says if the choker has one stone, so then, and assuming it can be worn, so then it's going to be kabel, it's going to be kabel tumah. One explanation for the machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and the Tanakama is that according to the Tanakama, you need enough beads that will remain on the necklace that they will go around the whole neck of a young girl. According to Rabbi Eliezer, one bead is sufficient. There's some discussion about that opinion. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's not clear if I have one bead, how long does the string have to be? The string sounds like the string, the metal string, the metal cord doesn't have to be even large enough to go around the neck of a ketana. So then, you know, who's going to wear it? So some discussion about that opinion.